Moncrief on News Talk.
And now we are going to do the item that I did warn you about earlier on, if there are any little ears around the place, or indeed if it's something you mightn't necessarily want to hear about yourself, you know what you can do for a while. Pornography. We already know about the deleterious effect it's having on young men, but one aspect of it is particularly sinister: strangulation porn. Ruth Breslin is director of the Sexual Exploitation Research and Policy Institute. Ruth, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me here.
And from just what I've read today, it's not just a thing that's on porn sites. It's become, you know, you can get advice on TikTok as how to do it properly. So this has become quite normalised.
It is becoming really normalised. And I think we did a piece of research which we launched last year with Women's Aid, which was looking at the kind of links between pornography and the perpetration of violence against women and girls. But in that research, what something that really stood out was this idea of strangulation. And when I wrote a piece about it last week in the Irish Examiner, I started kind of on social media and I just looked for videos about what in pornography is known more commonly as choking. But really what we're talking about here is strangulation. And I found tens of thousands of bits of information, videos and other types of advice informing young people, and very targeted young people, informing them how to choke safely. And the bottom line is, every medical professional you speak to worth their salt will tell you that there is no safe way to strangle somebody. But I suppose strangulation, it's one of those, the starkest examples of how kind of very violent content in porn is now shaping our sex lives and our sexual behaviour in the offline world.
Mm, yeah. And is this just predominantly women being strangled?
So absolutely. When we look at the data, it is happening kind of both ways. When we look at the data, you know, and look at the content of pornography, we're talking about the vast majority of cases, a man strangling a woman, a young woman, for the purposes of his sexual pleasure. I think one of the issues we have in pornography is that it's been normalised to the extent where often when women are filmed and depicted in pornography being strangled, they're responding with pleasure. But actually in the real world, we're hearing different. So I am working with a lot of health professionals, teachers, youth workers, and they're telling me that increasingly they're working with girls and young women who are afraid to have sex. They are terrified of sex, either having it for the first time or continuing to have it because of what they've seen in pornography and because this is what they believe they have to submit to. So we've got to quite a dark place, I think, where pornography, and you have to remember, young people are curious about sex. That's natural.
Sure.
They're coming to pornography and they're telling us we're going there to learn about sex. They don't have a template because maybe they haven't had sex or any kind of sexual relationship before. Going to pornography to learn about sex, and what they're actually being presented with very much so is sexual violence. But they don't necessarily know the difference. They can't untangle these things, because what's been presented in pornography is just becoming so normalised for them. So they're taking that into their real world sexual behaviours. So we have reached this place where some boys are essentially being groomed by pornography to become perpetrators, and some girls are being groomed by pornography to submit to kind of quote unquote consent to sexual violence, but to end up then having these kind of sexual experiences that they don't enjoy, that they find frightening, painful, or in the case of strangulation, actually potentially extremely dangerous.
Yeah, no, I don't know if they've figures in this kind of thing, but are women like turning up at A&Es injured from these kind of practices?
This is what we're hearing, but we don't have good data on this in Ireland. Unfortunately, we don't have that kind of population level data. But absolutely, there are medical professionals in the UK, in the US, public health professionals talking about some of the consequences. One of the very scary things about this, I think, is that sometimes the consequences aren't immediately obvious. You could be strangled and your throat may not start to swell and choke until a few days later.
Oh, God.
They are now saying that choking is the second most common cause of a stroke amongst young women under 40. Obviously, you know, that a whole host of things can happen. There are results such as miscarriage. Some women who have been strangled during sex, ultimately that results in a miscarriage for them. Brain injury, also mental health effects causing depression, suicide ideation. The list goes on. This is quite a scary practice. Again, I just have to emphasise, not something that can ever be done in a fully safe way.
Yeah, and probably in a larger sense, a lot of pornography depicts sex as a kind of a form of violence, even the language used to describe
it. Sure, absolutely. So when we looked at kind of content analysis that have been done across the world, we found that 9 in 10 scenes in mainstream pornography, and this is the platforms that you can go and find in a couple of clicks right now, Sean, and that anyone of any age in Ireland can visit right now, Nine in ten scenes contain some form of physical aggression. In the vast majority of those scenes, that's being perpetrated by the men and directed at the woman. The woman is often responding with pleasure to this aggression. That's the expectation, that she has to find this aggression pleasurable. So I think that's right. Young people are coming to pornography simply wanting to learn about sex and being confronted with sexual violence, and it's shaping their sexual scripts, their sexual behaviour in the real world, often in many ways to kind of a harmful extent.
Yeah. What can we do about it? Now, I know in certain countries they're trying to put in age limits where you have to identify yourself. Now, practically speaking, technically speaking, is that possible to do?
So we did take a really important step in Ireland a couple of years ago where we actually outlawed non-fatal strangulation. So again, we have this kind of strange situation where strangulation is becoming increasingly normalised, particularly among young people. And yet we've actually outlawed it as a practice. We got a new law in 2023 that said this is actually an offence. This is not something we should be doing. We've had 67 prosecutions since kind of, I think, the end of 2023 in May of this year. So we are seeing prosecutions. We're seeing this coming before the criminal justice system. But of course, we don't want young people ending up in the criminal justice system because of something they've learned to do and kind of copy from online. So I think there's two things here. There's an access issue and there's a content issue. And we're really working on both as much as we can. So in the research that we did with a whole host of stakeholders on pornography, there was a real consensus that children and young people should not have access to this content because it's so sexually violent and explicit. So we've got work to do there around age verification for those major pornography platforms and stopping this content just being so freely and readily available to young people to kind of shape their sexual behaviours in the way that it is. But the other thing is content. So the UK has literally just announced that it is planning to outlaw all pornography that depicts strangulation and suffocation. And they've done that for a very clear reason. They've said this is driving violence against women and girls. We need to stop it. They have a precedent in doing that in the past. A few years ago, actually about 10 years ago now, they outlawed pornography that very specifically was essentially depicting rape, non-consensual sex acts. So they have, you know, precedents in doing that. We should do something like this here. I really do believe that. And I know that won't switch off all this negative content.
Yes.
But the law leads the way. It also, you know, creates normative change. And we need a discussion in Ireland about the fact that this is happening. It's happening, especially amongst our young people. It's really dangerous. This is, you know, they're being very influenced by the content they're seeing. And I think we just need to really, really address this head on, have this conversation, bring in the legislation and just, I suppose, free young people from this very sexual, violent content that's been fed to them on their smartphones and online. This is about being sex positive. I think now to be sex positive, we need to be porn critical because of the nature and content of porn as we see it today.
But, you know, they can access it on their phones, as you say.
Sure.
Are there a set of technical steps that can be reasonably reliable to keep much of this stuff at bay?
So this is the question. You know, there's a lot of work being done on age verification. It is in Ireland coming down the line, but we're not clear yet how it's going to be implemented. So we're talking about age verification. So the general move across the EU is to say, yes, young people under 18 shouldn't have access to this content.
Is that a bit young? Should it not be 21?
Maybe.
Yeah, or
maybe
even 25.
And you know something? This is why I think we also need to work on the content, because if we only focus on young people, does it suddenly become okay that they're then not exposed to all that content on their 18th birthday?
Yeah.
There's a wider question about pornography. What's it doing to us in society in terms of driving violence against women and girls? What's it doing in terms of us trying to achieve gender equality and all those like positive goals that we have? So, yeah, I think we're working on that access, but we're also working on these content issues. Is it acceptable for our sexual scripts, our sexual behaviours to be driven by something that is a massive multi-billion dollar business?
Yeah, where are those businesses based for the most part?
Yeah, so you can imagine that a lot of them are originally kind of emanating out of North America. There's thousands and thousands of pornography websites, but many of them are actually, you know, owned by a few conglomerates. And they do have a presence in Europe, primarily in Prague and in Cyprus. So under the Digital Services Act in the EU, we can take action against these platforms. We can tell them, you know, you are not keeping our children safe, feeding them this content. But we need a lot of political will behind this. You know, some of us are campaigning in different areas, but I think all of us need to come together and maybe join forces around this and bring our politicians on board because, these are big companies and they've got good lawyers and they're working really hard to make sure that their content remains out there so that they can rake in those advertising dollars that they're making. So yeah. Something we really have to get a hold of and tackle, I think.
Obviously strangulation and situations depicting rape and suffocation. But there's probably lots of other type scenarios where, you know, will it be complicated to come up with some sort of gatekeeping system, given that an awful lot of the stuff anyway is described in violent terms.
I think it would be complicated because you could, I suppose, make a list of what you don't want to see. You could make a list of what you don't want to depict. And actually, that would probably speak to or link across to the vast majority of pornography.
Yes.
But this is the world we're in now, in that this is what's been put before us and presented to us. And this is what's so confusing for young people. It's been presented as sex, but it's actually sexual violence. It's blurred the boundaries between the two.
Yeah.
I just think we need to get a hold of that and really address it and have this conversation, be really clear about, no, this isn't acceptable. It's not acceptable to be teaching young people about an act that is actually illegal in the offline world. So we're talking about what's illegal offline should also, in this case, be illegal online as well.
Yeah, probably a lot of people listening didn't even know that strangulation was outlawed.
I know, so this is a thing. Anybody sort of my age and older is imagining the magazines of old. It might have been your Playboy or even your soft porn nuts magazines up on the high shelf, you know. That's not where we are right now. We're in a place where in a couple of clicks you can see the most hardcore content you can imagine. We did an analysis a month ago of the top 100 videos on Pornhub in Ireland. So trend hot videos in Ireland right now, 60% of content was highly problematic. A huge number of teens being presented, you know, so teen porn, that's the most popular category in porn right now. And about a fifth of videos, and this was just the titles we looked at, about a fifth of videos that directly reference violence. So women's bodies being pounded, women's bodies being destroyed, choking, etc., etc. Highly problematic. Everyone, especially with a young person out there, needs to be aware of this and have those conversations with your young people.
Yeah. Is this growing? I mean, the amount of porn available, is it growing? And is it kind of it has to become more and more extreme because the cohort like looking at strangulation, you know, want to see something else then.
Two really important things there. It is growing. Senior cycle students, so age between 16 and 18, 86% of boys have consumed porn and 24% of girls. But college students are telling us now, over half of male college students said that they first saw porn between the ages of 11 and 13. So it's starting at quite a young age, shaping those templates. And the point is that these porn platforms want eyeballs on the screen. They want to keep you there as long as possible because they're YouTube style. They want you to expose you to their advertising. That's how they earn money. And the way they do that is always delivering you something a little bit more provocative, upping the ante, every few minutes, upping the ante. And so many people, adult men as well as boys, are telling us that they're going down rabbit holes and they're consuming content that they never first went looking for, but it's bringing them to a very dark place.
Yeah.
To understand how that business model works, I think, is really important as well.
Yeah, who advertises around this stuff? Because I wonder, is that a line of attack?
Yes, you know? It is a line of attack. And that's something that's been looked at in America. So there was originally on Pornhub, one of the biggest platforms and well-known in the world, there was household products like Heinz, for example, were advertising. So, you know, I think there was a campaign in the US to kind of tackle those household brands who did remove advertising. But it's things like erectile dysfunction products, sex toys, all of those things that you can imagine, but also things like Doritos or, you know, hot chips, you know, products like that, that somehow snacks that somehow go with this content. I don't know. Different types of social media that might be sex phone lines, that kind of thing. There's a whole host of different types of advertising. So that is a line of attack, and also the payment processors. So the only reason Pornhub, you know, had a big change in the US a number of years ago in terms of deleting a lot of its content was that people went after Visa and MasterCard, who were processing payments for premium membership.
Yeah. Ruth, thanks very much for coming in to talk to us today. That was Ruth Breslin there, Director of the Sexual Exploitation Research and Policy Institute.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.